Hey Megan, how are you? Hey Jenny. Were you guys having trouble getting in or having any problems? Jenny, can you hear me okay? Okay, I am not turning my camera on. Number one, I'm in a hotel in my pajamas because my sister and I are out of town. My other sister is pretty sick, and my service is terrible. So if you guys don't mind editing your name so I can see like your information, if you want to chat it, I can do it for you. But I like to know how far along you guys are. And when my postpartum mamas come, I like to know how far into postpartum they are. Did you guys try logging on before and have trouble? Because I was having some issues. Normally, there's a lot more mamas on at this time, so I don't know what's going on. We might be having some issues. Who knows? How are you doing, Jenny? Are you able to talk? Okay. No problem. Oh, okay. Hi, Megan. Good. While Jenny's trying, Megan, do you want to give us an update? Tell me how you're doing. Hi, Erica. Boy, you guys are a quiet group today. Oh, we lost Jenny. She might be re-logging on.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. Sorry, I don't have camera today, but I'm in a hotel room. One of my sisters is pretty sick, and my other sister flew in, and we've been in the hospital all day, and like it's one of those days where you need to like get in your pajamas and take your bra off, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that doesn't sound fun. So
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, I just wanted to pop in and join a little bit of work stress going on at the moment with the tech glitch thing. So I'm trying to work on that a little bit. But yeah, as far as pregnancy stuff goes, so I'm past the 30-week mark. I'll be 31 tomorrow. And I'm just kind of curious, like I've started doing the dates, trying to get six of those in every day. And then I have a exercise ball, birth ball now, so I'm trying to start to incorporate, stuff on that on a daily basis. So I'm just wondering, like what else should I be focusing on and trying to do, as I'm working through these last, 9 weeks of pregnancy.
Yeah, I would say at 31 weeks, the main thing I would be worried about, besides the dates, because you're not quite to the raspberry leaf tea, is getting some movement in, like getting on the ball, doing some different, movements, going for a walk, eating healthy, making sure that you're also balancing that with good sleep and good sleep habits, So that would be my main thing for you right now because you still have so much time.
Right.
Did you get the purposeful positioning course?
I did. Yeah. So,
Yeah.
and I've watched all of that. So I'm trying to incorporate, some of the stuff on the birth ball from that. And I found like a little video, on YouTube that's got,
Yeah.
a sequence that incorporates a lot of that as well. A lot of the same movement type stuff. So, like is the forward leaning inversion, is that something I want to go ahead and start now, or do I wait until, I'm further along to start doing any of that?
No, I believe I'm blanking a little because I'm going on little sleep, but I believe you can do that now.
Okay.
I'm looking on spinning babies right now. But yeah, you can do it after 20 weeks, and you do it for three full breaths. So you're going to do it for about 15 to 30 seconds. It's very disconcerting, and make sure you have someone there to back you up. Okay. Because your balance is off so much.
Okay, so start the forward leaning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, Jenny's having tech issues too. I think we all are. I don't know what's going on because I know we had about 20 something, I think, RSVP. So we'll see. Oh well. I always realize that whoever's here is exactly who needs to be here. That's how it always works out. Did you have any other questions or?
No, I think I just want reassurance that I'm, on the right track, which, yeah, like the movement and all that, like I've been doing that throughout my whole pregnancy. It's
Perfect.
more difficult to make myself get up and, go to my exercise room and do stuff, but I'm still trying to at least go up and do like yoga and the ball and just try and get some movement in each day. And I'm working on like meal prep, like freezer meal prep stuff too. So I feel like doing that during a day too and making an extra meal is I'm considering that a little bit of a workout too and being up on
Oh,
my
yeah. No, I think that sounds amazing. Like, it sounds like you're doing everything perfectly. And then, I say this all the time, but make sure you're scheduling some self-care too, stuff that's not revolving around pregnancy or baby or any of that, something that's just about you.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm trying to still do like a warm soak because that was my thing before getting pregnant is I would do like 45 minutes to an hour in like a nice warm bubble bath multiple times a week. So that's my major self-care thing that I've always done. So I'm still trying to get a warm, I'm just calling it a warm soak now, but
Yeah.
trying to incorporate that and set a timer so I don't like just stay relaxed in there for an hour. But
Wow. Right away, my first thought was that is going to be, I feel like that might be your good pain coping thing.
yeah, I'm hoping that as well. Both here at home and then the hospital that I'm delivering at, they do have tubs, like jet
Okay.
stuff too. So I'm hoping to be
Right.
able to incorporate that. As long as I'm guessing if my water breaks, I probably can't soak in a tub, but
Well, so it you can because you can do, I mean, there's a lot of places that do water births. So yeah, it's completely safe, but will they let you?
yeah, I don't know if they will.
Yeah, that's the question, but it's kind of silly seeing that. I mean, a lot of women deliver in the tub. So yeah, but that sounds like a great plan and just staying at home and utilizing that. But I'll give you an inside tip for those jet tubs at the hospital. Give your nurse a good heads up because they take a while to fill and get nice and warm. And it can be very uncomfortable if you get into it before it's not too all the way filled, because you're already uncomfortable and then you're cold on part of your body. So just give them a good heads up that you want to use it.
Okay, cool. That's a good tip. Thank you. I'll
You're
write that down.
welcome. Well, it's nice to see you, even though you can't see me. I see you.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, Jenny, how are you? Can you get your audio on so I can say hello to you?
Yes, hi. Listening to Erica and inviting in the chat. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. I'm reading your chat right
Okay.
now.
Yeah, just send it when you call my name. I'm just trying to see if I could just get everything in chat because I don't know if I'll be connected for a
Yeah.
long time. But I am doing okay. I got Kaiser, which is my insurance company, to give me a 101 with a physical therapist. They're very low on staff, and so they're wanting to do a lot of the virtual group
Right.
type of sessions, and I just don't feel like I'm getting the support that I needed. But I was able to get a good person to work with, and she was very helpful in just acknowledging all the pains I'm going through. And I think the thing that I wrote in the chat was like the one that's been the most pressing on my mind, and trying to massage my feet and like do the stretches. I can see that getting in the way of, I already feel like I've like had to cut down a little bit on my walking, which is what I
Right.
do for cardio because of it. So that's kind of what it's on my mind in terms of my pregnancies. Like, how do I troubleshoot these pains that I know are part of the pregnancy, but that I don't want them to get to the point where I'm not mobile or I'm in too much pain. And the other thing that I'll say is the wedge. I've definitely have been trying my best to sleep on my side, but the hip, like nerve pain, the mm-hmm. shooting down pain and the burning sensation gets really bad. And so I've been propping myself up with lots of pillows, kind of like a sitting up position on my bed, and have been able to get a few hours in that way. But I was looking for like these wedges that they sell for people who have gone to surgery, and they're really expensive. So I'm just trying to decide. I don't know if anybody's tried these, or I know like sleeping on the back is not recommended.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not sitting all the way back. Like, it's literally like I'm sitting up, but yeah, just troubleshooting my sleep and what that's been the position that helps me sleep at least a few hours.
So let me just clarify a couple times, and then I want to talk about your plantar fasciitis. So as far as the wedge, are you talking about a wedge to keep you from rolling onto your back?
It's more like a support, that a wedge that like you have a support on your back and it lifts you up.
Okay.
And then you can put pillows around it, but it's kind of for the, like your shoulders and your back to be supported.
Okay. I'm really surprised you can't find an economical version of it on Amazon.
They have like these smaller ones. I am looking at like the more medicated ones that tend to be like 85 to one something. Mm-hmm. They just have like a different level of like a height. And then they have like all these little, you know, gadgets with it. There are ones that are like, they're $40 or I think that's the cheapest one. It's just very low. Like the height is not there. So in my mind, it kind of, I might as well just use like pillows that I've been using.
What if you use the lower price one and put a pillow under it to make it higher?
Yeah, that's what my partner was suggesting as well. Maybe starting with that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might try that. Yeah.
As far as your feet, I have this as well. It has not flared up for years, thank God. But it was the insoles that changed everything for me. My provider actually wrote me a prescription, and believe it or not, I went to New Balance, and they used that to do the scan of my foot. And they created, you know, the insole, and I haven't had a problem since. So I'm really hoping,
oh my God,
really hoping that's what you experience.
Yeah. Well, I just got the Super Feet brand, which is the one that the physical therapist recommended. And I put them on, I just got out of REI, and I just put them on in there, and I started to cry because it was, the pain relief was immediate as soon as I put these guys in my shoes.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? Did they scan?
Yeah.
Did they scan your foot to create it for your foot?
They didn't, but you know, no, it was kind of like in the box type of thing. I just did my research on the brand and like the specific one. But I'm glad to hear that you could get a prescription and maybe get, if it continues to get back, like if it does continue, I might go that route and ask my PT for a prescription and get something more customized.
You know, I'm looking right now to see if you have to have a prescription. But I know at the New Balance that I went to, you go in and they've got this machine that scans your foot and it tells you the exact insole to get for your foot. I take every one of my the insert out of all my tennis shoes and move them around to wear in them.
Okay, that's really good to know. I can definitely do my investigation around here where I live and see if there is that option, because these feel really good right now, and I'm hoping that they will work, but I do like to have a backup plan because it's the pain is a lot, even though I'm massaging it and stretching it and stuff.
I used to sit at work and I would take like frozen water bottles and hold my foot foot on it and roll my foot on it.
God.
It hurts so bad. So bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't had a problem since I got those inserts. So I'm glad that you're getting some relief, and hopefully that'll stay like that. Well, is this your first time here?
It's my second time. I came last session.
Okay.
I bought the birth course and then the partner support when you did the 5 days.
Okay.
Yeah. And my partner and I have just started the comp. Even though we bought it in November, we just have time to start now. So we are on our module 4 of the birth class.
Good.
So far so good. We took a class with Kaiser. And we're so happy that we have this class that you're giving us. It was good to know like the Kaiser spell. So like my that's where I'm going to have the baby. And so
right.
I got to ask some specific questions about their policies and stuff like that. But just really enjoy the reflection questions so far. Like I did the activity of writing stuff down, my fears, and then like ripping them up. And I was going to buy like affirmation cards for my birth. And I think I might still, but you asked the question around like, what are some affirmations you need for yourself, like to say to yourself. And I think I came up with some really good ones. I didn't know I had it in me, like to be so
awesome.
Creative, but I think I'm going to use those for along the way.
I think that
they feel really good.
I think you have the affirmations, and I'll add some to the community as well. I'm adding to the community, to the resources. We're doing an induction class tomorrow and next week. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to add the workbook to the resources, the download sections, the spaces as downloads. In that induction workbook, in the back are some little printouts that you can write your own affirmations, but you also have some affirmations that you can print from the ebook, the companion book that's in your course.
Oh, great. I didn't see them yet. Okay, great.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Well, it's nice to chat with you. If you have any more questions, let me know, okay?
Thank you. Thank
you're
you
welcome.
For making time for me to begin. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Hey, Megan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm glad to see your name. I was like, this has been such a weird happy hour because I was like, do I have the wrong link? What is happening?
I know. And it's my first time actually joining in on a happy hour. So I was logging in on my phone and then it wouldn't let me change the name. So I'm like, I'll just get my computer out. So then it let me log in with my name.
I feel like Zoom is so much friendlier on a desktop than it is on the phone.
Yeah, I agree.
It's so difficult. Well, tell us about you.
So I just actually had my 30-week appointment today. I'm a first-time mom and I live out in Arizona. And other than sickness, I've had a pretty good pregnancy this far. I just, today at my appointment, I've been having my like resting heart rate's been pretty elevated.
Oh.
So my OB is sending me to a cardiologist next week. And it's like hard to get like a for sure answer as far as if it's something I should actually be concerned about or if it's something that's just normal in pregnancy.
So I think that it can happen, but they're going to always investigate. So what I think will happen is the cardiologist will probably send you home with a telemetry pack, which basically is like a little tiny EKG thing that you're going to wear, and it will keep a record of what's going on with your heart over whatever time period they do. That's probably what they'll do. And then, you know, they'll investigate, like, is this a transient thing? Is this happening more than we're comfortable? But really, you won't have any answers until they kind of establish a pattern.
Okay, that makes sense.
Do you have any symptoms of it?
Not really. So when I was on birth control previously, I think it was just like low estrogen, but actually made my heart rate spike as well. Okay. And they took me off of it, switched me to a different one. And we just kind of boil it down to, it was like the rise in hormones or the different hormones. Yeah. So I was like, it was just interesting that it's just now happening with pregnancy.
Yeah.
Like I kind of expected it to happen first thing as far as the rise in hormones go, but it just started happening like a month ago, but I'll get like shaky and warm when I can feel it coming on. And then usually my Apple Watch will alert me like, hey, you're not doing anything.
What is it getting to?
It'll be between like 130 and 150.
Okay. Yeah. They probably need to investigate. It is, if tachycardia is going to happen, it usually is in the third trimester.
Okay.
But you said it started right around the third trimester starting.
Yeah. Like literally 3 to 4 weeks ago. Cause okay. I had an appointment I'm on the 2 week schedule now. So I had one 2 weeks ago and that's when I first brought it up to them. And then we just kind of monitored it for these next 2 weeks and it's still happening. So that's when today she was like, okay, you need to go see the cardiologist.
Yeah. I think the next steps to expect is they're going to send you home with a telemetry monitor.
Okay.
And then they'll kind of figure out like how often is happening. And I would say that if it's happening a lot, then the next step, and I'm not super sure about this, but the next step, my guess would be probably some tools or medication to figure it, you know, figure out like because if it's happening a lot, then they're not going to be too thrilled with that. So,
right.
You know, it really just depends. I guess you probably know about how often it's happening. What would you say, like daily, weekly?
It's usually at least once a day. It's just so weird because it'll literally be like I'm doing nothing. Like my husband and I, we went to see Elf in theaters. And I mean, in that hour and a half long movie, it stayed above 130 for like the whole time.
Interesting.
Yeah. But then, you know, other times I'll be sitting on the couch and it's not above it. So there's really no rhyme or reason. I stay away from caffeine for the most part.
Yeah. I would definitely keep that up.
Yeah.
What about in the movies, were you having any chocolate or anything that might have caffeine that you wouldn't think about?
I had some M&Ms with popcorn.
Do you put M&Ms in your popcorn?
Yeah.
So do we.
Oh my gosh, it's my favorite. You get it's the sweet and salty.
Oh, it's so, but you have to make sure you put it in when the butter's hot so it gets kind of melty.
Oh yeah. So that you get the handful and you get a little bit of popcorn, a little bit of M&Ms, and the M&M just kind of melts.
Yeah. So my husband and I just got married a couple years ago and he doesn't realize like he's not allowed to dig and pick out all the M&Ms. That is not acceptable. Oh yeah, that's so funny because I don't meet many people that do that. So that's awesome.
That's my favorite. But yeah, that I did have some of that.
Okay. Well, I would maybe start thinking, like paying attention to other sources of caffeine. And then I think what you're doing, you're gonna get the best answers from the cardiologist. So okay. You know, I have had patients that have had perinatal tachycardia. So we'll just see like, you know, what's going on and what they can do. Well, we're happy you're here. Normally I'm on camera, but I don't know if you heard me saying that I'm out of town. I'm in a hotel room and so no camera today.
Oh,
and
that's totally fine.
Yeah, terrible service. But it's funny because when I put my camera on, most of you guys do, and now no one has their camera on. So I have to make sure I don't do this again. Did you have any other questions for me or anything you wanted to ask about?
I don't think so. If they like do find an issue, I mean, is it a huge problem as far as baby goes or like an early labor? Like, do you know of it causing anything like that? Or if they'll, you know, not be too concerned as far as it affecting baby and more so how it's affecting just me?
I really think it's going to be the root of it, what's causing it, but more often than not, it doesn't cause any harm.
Okay.
You know, the one thing you'd have to think of is like, okay, if your resting heart rate is high, then, you know, labor is like doing a workout. So how, you know, what's going to happen with that? But I think that they need to do, you know, like an echocardiogram, an electrocardiogram, and figure out like, you know, what is it? And the other thing would be, are you having shortness of breath? Like, have you had that or difficulty breathing?
Yeah, I have asthma though, so that's not necessarily anything new to me.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't know if that's, you know, stemming from the racing heart or if that's just my asthma acting up. It'd be hard for me to kind of determine.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that really just waiting and talking to the cardiologist and finding out like, you know, what is causing this? Cause more than likely it's just the physiological changes of pregnancy. You know, because remember your body's having to produce and pump like a lot more blood. So, you know, it just really is figuring out what's causing it will be the next step. And, and usually it doesn't cause problems for babies. So,
okay. Well, that is good to know. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Hey, Deborah, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How's your week going? You're like cutting down to the wire, girl.
Yeah, I had my 38-week appointment today. And last week I saw a different doctor than my usual because she was out of town. And they were like all about induction and scheduling that. This week it wasn't so bad. She was like, she just said, we don't want you to go past 42 weeks. And I was like, that's fine. And she was like, can we go ahead and schedule something for like 41 weeks? I was like, yeah, that's fine. But like the one last week kept trying to push me at 39 weeks. And I was like, I don't want to do that.
I think you shared that last week, right? Yeah. Didn't we talk about this? That's what I thought. This whole thing. So we're getting ready to post about going past 39 weeks because we're getting more and more and more women who are saying that their provider's like, oh, you know, if you go past 39 weeks, the risk of stillbirth goes up significantly. And they're quoting this study of that's the ARRIVE study. And if you guys, we're gonna link to some of the information, but there's a really good article on evidence-based birth about the ARRIVE study. I really recommend you guys read it because to be prepared for that, because no matter how much I prepare you, when your doctor says, well, the chances of stillbirth go up, it's very hard to go against what they're saying. But they're definitely misquoting this study in some circumstances. So I would just be prepared for that one. It's just ridiculous. And the funny thing is ACOG, you know, says that post-term is past 42 weeks, not past 40 weeks, 42 weeks. So it's just a lot, like, you know.
Yeah, it was really, like, last week it was really bad. She was very, like, pushy and demanding. And I just was like, no, I'm not scheduling anything. And so my, like, regular doctor this week, she was fine. She was like, we just don't want you to go past 42 weeks. And I was like, I get that. Like, that's completely fine, but I don't want to do anything before then.
Yeah. Well, I'm super proud of you.
Yeah. It was a much better appointment this week.
I really can't believe you're 38 weeks. It blows my mind.
Yeah, me either. It doesn't seem like it should be that far along already.
No, like it's gone so fast. Wow. So crazy. Well, how are you feeling otherwise?
I'm feeling good. Like I haven't had any issues. I can't complain. I've had probably the easiest pregnancy I know of. other than like the last couple of weeks, swelling has gotten like more. But other than that, like it's been pretty easy.
And the swelling is equal. Like it's not one leg. Okay. Well, that's normal. I remember with Ian, like all I could wear were these like polka dotted like slipper shoes I had. It was awful.
I have compression socks and I have to put those on because otherwise by the end of the day, my shoes are like not coming off.
And you're still working, right?
Yeah, I'm planning on working until I go into labor, so.
Yeah, I did the same thing. Like it was really funny too, you guys, because I had to get recertified for ACLS and BLS and like get my life support stuff. And I was like, I'm not doing it after the baby because obviously I'm not going to want to come to work with a newborn. And so I had to do it. And I was like 39 weeks pregnant. And she pretty much passed me because she did not want me doing compressions. She was so afraid that I was going to go into labor in her office because she did it like it wasn't a class. She just did it personally for me. And she's like, okay, that's a good compression. You know what you're doing. Just stop. Don't want a baby in here. Don't want a baby. I'm like, okay. But yeah, I did the same thing. I worked right up to, I ended up, you know, being induced because I was on heparin. But I worked right up to my induction.
Yeah. I like go between working on my feet and sitting down. So I have a good balance of like, I'm not up on my feet all day long and I'm not just sitting at a desk all day long. So
I'm blanking, but I feel like you work in a veterinarian clinic or some kind or dental or
eye doctor.
What is it? Eye doctor. That's what yeah. I knew it was a clinic of some kind. I couldn't remember. Okay. Yeah. I did know that. Well, yay. Well, I'm glad you're here. Keep us posted. I was reading your bat signal right before I got on here. So
yeah,
I'm happy to see you on here. All right. Well, let me see how Ashley's doing. Ashley, can you share your story with us?
Hi. Yeah, I can share. This is my first time back on now that it's been like the 2 weeks of the craziness.
I know. Are you able to turn your camera on so we can see the baby? Is the baby nearby?
Oh, with Dad, I can.
You know we want to see the baby.
She's not wanting to take a nap right now.
Okay, then. That's normal.
So you can see her. Oh, beautiful eyes. Let me see.
I'm so excited. Oh, my goodness. Oh my goodness. I showed my sister. She's precious. Oh, my, that pacifier is as big as her face.
Yeah, it's the Dr. Scholl's one.
Yeah, she's wide awake. No nap in there.
Yeah. But I'm surprised she's going to have possibly blue eyes.
Oh, nice.
My husband has brown.
Well, you know what? There you go. Well, we're super excited to hear your story.
I was gonna kind of say a little bit on what you guys already talked about, because I felt like I had the perfect pregnancy, but it was like she was so comfortable she didn't want to come out. And so I was in a similar situation where it was like I seen a specialist just because of my age and my weight, because I got pregnant at the highest I weighed, which is 225, but for my, I'm like 5'8", 5'9". Yeah. So for my height, it's not really like, I would say, you know, that bad. But I didn't gain too much weight. I got up to, I think, 265. So I gained, I guess, 40 pounds. And then because I was 37 and I guess the BMI was high, I seen a specialist and the specialist was like, yeah, we recommend everyone having their kids at 39 weeks, like you're talking about, you know, and all that. And I'm like, oh, really? Okay. And then after I seen the specialist, I talked to my doctor and I was like, I really don't want that. And she's like, yeah, we'll, you know, I said, I specifically, like, if there's like every test you've thrown at me, I pass with flying colors. Like, why is there such a concern? Like, if everything is, I want to play it by ear, obviously the health of the baby is most important, but I don't want to, you know, do something that isn't needed, you know? Yeah. And so the doctor was fine with that. So then as we were coming along, like I tried to do everything, you know, naturally that I could, which was starting the stimulation, of the breast, 15 minutes each night with the pump. I was taking, you know, the teas and the primrose oil and having sex and like trying to do everything naturally. And then I tried at the end before I was going to be induced, which I waited until I think I was 41 weeks and 2 days. And then the hospital didn't have space. So then the next day I had ended up going in and I tried the midwife's brew, which had the castor oil and tea and different things like that. And so if anyone wants to try the brew, don't wait till the last minute because you have to get all the ingredients and they're hard to come by.
Oh, yes. I say this all the time, you guys. Go ahead and order them now and because it's that lemon verbena is hard to find.
Yeah, the tea. That was the hardest to find.
Yeah. And how did how did you handle it? Like,
it was fine. I didn't have really any effects of it. Like some people say they have diarrhea, but yeah, I didn't.
The almond butter really helps eliminate those GI effects.
So I was going to do it again and then I didn't. And then I had a whole day. So we checked in at like 6 a.m. and then I was advocating because at first I thought I was going to have the Cervitol. Cervidil. And then they said, oh no, we don't do that anymore. Like, I guess they weren't using that. And they used another form that was in a pill.
Yeah, Cytotec. Yeah, the Cervidil is really expensive. So a lot of hospitals don't use it.
Yeah, they stopped using it. And so then I said, well, I want to try to do, you know, as naturally as I can. And so the doctor was actually coming in to check me. And so she said that it's recommended to do the pill with, because I had mentioned the balloon. And so she said, well, doing them both combined is what's recommended for the advancement. I said, okay, well, I'll do both. I just really want to do the balloon. And so the balloon only lasted like 4 hours, which at first she said, well, we'll come back in 12 hours and take it out. And I was like, well, what if it comes out naturally? Like,
yeah.
And so it only lasted 4 hours. I was going to the bathroom. I didn't try to push or anything, but it came out. And so the cervix was at 4 centimeters. But she said the only concern was that if the cervix was going to close up, like you're going to go back, you know, and close. And so they wanted to start the Pitocin. So I think it was like, I can't remember if it was like immediately or that evening they checked me. I think it was like 8 o'clock that night they checked me and I was still at the 4 centimeters. Okay. And so I started the Pitocin that night and slowly amped it up. And so by 6 a.m., I was in full-blown contractions and it was painful and all of that. And from 6 to 8, I was like reconsidering because I was like, my doctor came in at 8 and I was like, yeah, so I kind of want to enjoy my delivery. And, you know, I had a plan, you know, I wanted to try to do things naturally, but obviously with Pitocin and all the interventions for inducing, it makes it a lot stronger. And I said, well, my plan was if it's unbearable, I'm going to do the epidural. And so I did, I asked for the epidural and before I got the epidural, I threw up because the contractions were so strong. So I just knew that I had a long day, like, because I was still, you know, at 8:30 in the morning, I think I was 7 centimeters or
seven centimeters. In transition though, you know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And my water was not broken yet still. And so the doctor had, broke my water at that time at around 8:30.
Before you got your epidural or after?
I think it was before.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's surprising.
I think I was in the transition of asking for the epidural. I can't remember. So she broke the water, and then that was at 8:30, and then at 12, I felt a lot better. And at 12, they came in and checked me. And I think I was at about the 10 centimeters, but mm-hmm. I was only, I think, at a station one.
Okay.
And so we wanted to labor down.
Way to go, girl.
But they did try to push to see what it felt like. And I said, I don't really like this because I can't really feel it. So I wanted to take the epidural down in effectiveness or stop it.
Yeah.
And so there was a line of C-sections that were happening. And so I couldn't get it toned down. So what they did was they just paused it and basically stopped it from going. Mm-hmm. So then they said, oh, we're going to come in an hour and then we'll check you again.
Oh,
and
then
I was feeling the contractions again. But
I'm sure.
It was okay. Like, I would rather feel it and not tear as bad than, you know what I mean? I still got to enjoy up to having the baby, right? So I was okay with feeling it, but it was just, I don't know. I don't think I was fully prepared for the whole pushing part. and I tried to do
When you say prepared, do you mean mentally, physically, both?
I want to say both. I wasn't really that active. And when I was pushing, on my back. Mm-mm. And I was trying a side position. I never going through it before and trying to push.
Yeah.
It's just, you don't know how to, I guess, really. I just felt like that. And I was like, I'm trying to
do the purposeful positioning.
Yeah. I went through the slides, but I didn't join the program. So until I was 38, 39 weeks.
Okay.
So all of you guys that are earlier, you have more time to prepare.
Yeah.
It was one of those late ones where I'm like, I feel like I don't know enough. And so I want to join the program so I can figure things out before it happens, you know?
Never too late.
Yeah. So I'm not the best example, but I got through it, and I think I, got through it positively. The pushing part was about an hour and 15 minutes. She crowned, and then she came out in the last push fully. So there was no hangups with her shoulder or anything. And then she did have a lot of fluid still in there. And so I didn't get to have the skin to skin immediately. They just had to remove some of the fluid. So they had to wipe her and get fluids out. And then I just had advocated once they were done, and her Apgar score was a 9.9. So it turned out to be really good.
Yeah. I mean, that's at 1 minute, 5 minute.
Yeah. And so when she was like, oh, well, I'm going to do this other thing, I said, no, you can bring her to me now. And you can finish that's your other girl. Test later.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because she was trying to get her assessment done real quick since she had her.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
Where it was like, okay, well, now that she's okay and you guys, I want to do that. So I think, ultimately just continuing to advocate for yourself. And I even had to reiterate that I wanted her to do the shot on me while she was laying with me. And so all of the nurses were nice. It was just more I just felt like maybe with coming in with my birth plan that you helped me prepare, they were like, oh, we have a special person. But you know what I mean? Because yeah. I had certain requests, but they appreciated
it. It's so ridiculous because everything you asked for was what you should be getting anyway. And it's nothing that's inconvenient for them.
Yeah.
You know?
And so I just, because there were nurse changes and different things, it was like, I think my nurse that I had, she had to go to the C-section. So then another nurse had came in and that was the one I was reiterating to, like, yeah, yeah. I want you to do the shot on her, like on me, yeah. you know, for the vitamin K or whatnot. And so that was just, you know, interesting. But then like the epidural guy was like, I love this music. Like I had the sounds on and my essential yeah. oils and they're like, this is so relaxing, you know?
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so proud of you. It's so amazing. Like you did so good. And I'd love to know, did any of you guys out, like any of the other mamas, like as you're listening to Ashley, do you have any questions for her that you want to ask her? Anybody? Since she's fresh out of delivery 2 weeks and 3 days.
The only thing I told you, Trish, was like, I didn't realize how sore I would be after. So mm-hmm. I definitely got a massage after to release a lot of the tension. Like my arms were sore from pushing, which mm-hmm. was weird because, you know, you're tensed up and everything. And I just didn't expect my whole body to be sore. And I only tore at the level 2 tear yeah. and it's more inner. From, you know, the pushing and whatnot.
Yeah. Did you do tug of war at all?
No, I didn't get to. Okay.
All right. Cause sometimes that can really, did you have a question for her, Erica?
I did. I just, yeah. Kind of what she's already going into. I was just curious. Yeah. Like how's your recovery going? Is there anything that you're finding like super helpful that you, you know, maybe had on hand or you wish you would have had on hand or like, yeah, like anything tips that you can share for recovery wise, like how it's going and whatnot.
Yeah, I did buy a lot of the things from Amazon, like the sitz bath and different things like that. I'm returning the sitz bath because I didn't really use it. I don't think I have like bad hemorrhoids or maybe my tear wasn't as bad. I did take one bath, but I just felt like maybe that's not, you know, for me. So I didn't use that. I do use the wipes and the spray. The ice packs, you know, I got most of them from the hospital. And being at home, I hadn't really used them that often. I have used, I think breastfeeding was more hard for me. Obviously you want to make sure that, you know, you're providing for the baby, but I was just like, it takes a while for, you know, the colostrum to come in and, she was high levels of jaundice. So I ultimately waited 24 hours before I even tried supplementing. So I did, supplement with some formula, because, you know, they're going to push for that. And they said it helps push the jaundice out. So I think it was emotional, you know, like feeling like you can't provide for your baby with just your breast milk, because I just, you know, I felt like she was hungry all the time. She had a good latch, so I didn't have any struggles with that. But I think it's been helpful because I did already introduce the bottle that my husband can help me. And I had pre-bought some formula because I knew the formula, you know, shortfall or whatnot. So I did just buy some Gentle Ease that I had at home to be prepared if I was going to need to supplement. So I've only been supplementing about 4 ounces a day, and that's just helping me to maybe sleep while he does one feeding or trying to pump. So once I got home, I started pumping to try to help my milk come in. And so I think it came in pretty good from there. So From that perspective, it helped. But recovery wise, I feel like I had a really easy recovery. Just my whole body felt sore. I did have a little bit of a headache. But I think once I got a massage, I was able to release that tension. It seemed like a stress headache, and that also could have been due to not sleeping enough. And so I just was like, I can't believe if people do this by themselves. Just try to use your husband or partner, you know, as much as you can, or anyone that can help. My church helped with doing meal train, you know, so that was nice that we didn't have to think about the food that we were receiving. But just trying to get your rest and take care of yourself.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing on that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I love that so much. And just keeping in mind, you guys, like, for sure, the ice packs, you're going to use a lot more in the immediate postpartum, those first couple days. Unless you have a significant tear or you have hemorrhoids, you may, or even vaginal swelling. So sometimes if you push a long time, or if the baby's in a little bit of a wonky position, you might have a lot more vaginal swelling. So I really recommend having maybe 4 to 5 ice packs at home, and you can make them, but you can also take them from your postpartum room. Anything that's consumable in your postpartum room, stick in your bag and then ask for some more, because you're paying for it. Your insurance is paying for it. The other thing, if you guys have seen, I've done a reel. There's a lot of us old school labor nurses who make an ice pack out of a newborn diaper, because we don't like the ones in the hospital because they do not absorb blood. So it's kind of ridiculous. The blood just rolls right off of it, whereas obviously a diaper will absorb it. So personally, I love doing the diaper one for my patients. You just kind of, I show it on a reel. You just kind of rip it at the top and then put crushed ice in it. If you don't have crushed ice, do not do that one. That will not be comfortable at all on your booty. But yeah, sitz bath is really good too. Just so you know, Ashley, it's really good for cleaning as well. And just really, you know, like during, I loved it just during the day to be able to clean off nicely without actually having to get like a complete shower. So there's always some uses for it, but it really is beneficial if you have pain from a tear or hemorrhoids or swelling. I also wanted to say, like, I know, are you coming to the postpartum happy hour tomorrow night?
Yeah, I'm planning on it.
Okay, good. Because
that'll be my first one.
Yes, I've seen some of the emotions coming through you, and I think you're really going to appreciate some of these other moms who are right with you or a little farther along than you. We've got some up to like a year and a half postpartum. But I really want you to walk through the grief you feel about that initial supplementing, and then remember it's not the end of the world, and you are still, you know, providing what this baby needs from your breast. Doing one supplement or, you know, whatever is not the end of the world. So I know that like there's a lot of like mom shame and guilt out there, but that is not something we're about here, because your baby's fed, you're feeding the baby mostly. So, you know, like it's okay. It's all right. And sometimes we have to do what's best for our mental health as well. You know, so I think
it's more just like asking for that break. And so
when
I know like my body or is feeling so tired, it's like, yeah, you need to do the 3 a.m. feeding because I just need to rest, or, you know, like it. And that's the hardest thing I feel like is like, breastfeeding is really good for the baby, but it takes a lot out of you, because just doing it like each side, it can be up to an hour to get her to go back down or longer. And
it's
then
a huge commitment.
You got to start over in 2 hours.
It's a huge commitment for sure. But it's definitely, you know, manageable when you have, like you said, when you have help and you come up with what works for you. You don't have to do it the same as someone else or according to, and I put in quotes, the rules or the, you know, like totally about figuring out what works for you. So I'm really glad you're here and thank you so much for sharing. I love, Jenny said, thank you for sharing, especially the part about advocating for self with the ins and outs and stuff. Jenny, Megan, all of you guys, that is one thing we are super passionate about here. And the longer you hang out with us, the longer you will feel super confident in speaking up. Because here's the truth, that baby was fine. Why in the world would they take another few minutes to complete an assessment when this mama who has carried this baby all this time, done all that work, and all the studies show that the best place for baby is on top of her, and the best place for her to, you know, for her mom is to have her baby. Like, why in the world? Like, that's unacceptable. You know, it's not about the staff, it's about you and baby, and that's that. So we're definitely passionate about, you know, teaching you guys how to feel confident in that, because it doesn't have to be a big fight. Can be very simple and easy.
Yeah, and it's more just making sure you and your partner are aware of your plan and what you want and just continuing to reiterate it, because if your partner doesn't know, then they're not going to be able to help advocate when you're going through those contractions and you can't speak up for yourself too.
Yeah. So. Yep, because I say that all the time, your only job during labor is to labor. That's when it's your partner and your team. That's when they need to speak up. They need to know what it is you want, and they need to know why. It can't be just like, oh, I don't want that. It's, I don't want that because boom, boom, boom. So that when the providers or the staff are being a little coercive, your partner is not going to know what to say or how to handle it, and they're going to fall right into the trap. So they need to know exactly why it is you don't want what you want. Like, you know, like, let's just say Ashley's partner was not educated, had no idea, and Ashley's like, no, I don't want you to do that to the baby. I don't want you to assess the baby. And your partner's like, wait, don't we want to know that the baby's okay? Because they don't understand. So like, they need to know, like, no, there's literally no reason for that to happen right now. Like, the best place for baby is on top of mom. And if the part, your partner knows the reasons and the physiological reasons for why you're asking for what you're asking, then they're able to better advocate for you as well. So they're the voice during labor. All right, ladies, thank you so much for coming tonight. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, we have an induction class. I just put the link in the expert workshop area so that you guys can come for like for free and get right in. There is a workbook. So if you see that there's a workbook for sale, don't buy it, because I'm going to put it in the membership for free. All right, you guys, I'll see you guys next week. Have a great week.